Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
If you would, turn to the book of John, chapter 15. As Pastor Spencer said in the video, we're going to be diving into the difference of logos and rhema. And before maybe that catches you off guard and you're like, what is that weird? What are those weird, really spiritual sounding words? They're really just Greek words. They're not crazy. They're not strange. They're not out in left field. In your Bible, in the New Testament, where it says the word, it can be logos or rhema. So it has two different meanings, same word. Two different words in Greek, but two different meanings as well. And so I want to dive into a little bit about what the differences are of those two words are. So starting in John 15, I want to start in verse 1, and then I'm going to read 1 through 7, and then we'll pray. I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. Let's just read verse 8. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning with grateful hearts. There's no greater place to be than in your house. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Thank you that we get to be in your house, in your presence. We get to have your word at our disposal. We get to touch it. We get to look at it. We get to read it. We get to absorb it. We get to do it. Thank you for giving us your word. And I pray this morning that this word would fall on good ground, because your seed is always good. But I pray that our soil would be fertile soil, that it would gain harvest of a hundredfold return in every person's life. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak what you want to speak to every person. You know every heart individually, where we each are at on our journey. So come and speak and touch your people this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to dissect this portion of scripture. There are some sermon notes available. You'll have the thing in a minute, or you can scan the QR in front of you. But I'm going to be honest and say that I will probably weave in and out of my notes. That's mainly because God told me to speak something that I'd already spoken, but he had already given me other things. And so they're going to kind of weave in and out of each other. But I want to dive into John 15, 1 for just a minute. He says, I am the true vine, which implies that there are also false vines. So we have to be careful that we are connected to the true vine, the real vine, the truthful vine. But he says that his Father is the vine dresser. A vine dresser is a farmer. And then he says this, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So we have an emphasis here, because if he's the vine and we're just the branch, but if you don't bear fruit and you're a branch, then you get cut away. Then we need to know how to stay connected to the vine, because if we have no fruit, we equal removal. No fruit equals removal. That's not an option. That's not a, well, I'm going to just do it this way. I'm going to do it my way. No, you must bear fruit. He says, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Prune in the Greek means to cleanse. So when you are a branch that is bearing good fruit, he says, okay, I'm going to cleanse you. Okay, sometimes we only think coming to the altar or dealing with something, getting cleansed, has to do with sin. But he doesn't say that. He says you're bearing fruit, but because you're bearing fruit, meaning the fruit of the Spirit, you're doing a good job. He says, because you're bearing fruit, I'm going to cleanse you. But wait a second, I haven't sinned. No, he wants to go deeper. Because he tells us, he says, I'm going to prune you so that you can bear more. Pruning is not a discipline, it's a reward. And if we will see it that way, when he starts to go to prune, because pruning, anyone in here probably knows, even if you don't prune, what you prune with, it's probably not a comfortable tool to use. It probably doesn't feel good when you're getting cut or getting cut back or what. However the process works. Pruning is not going to feel good, but that doesn't mean that it's a discipline. It's a reward. Why? Because he says, I'll cleanse you so that you can bear more fruit. Then he says this, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken. Now, word here is the word logos. And we'll get into the definition of that in just a second. He says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. So can you put up the definition for logos? I don't know how easy that's going to be to find because of how I did my notes. But it means in Greek, word, the word, or doctrine. You're on Spencer's notes. Yes, those are not mine. No, it's okay. If you don't have them, mine are like red. It's okay if you don't have them. Anyway, I just told you the definition. Logos is word, the word, or doctrine. So this is interesting because he said, you are already clean by the logos which I have spoken, meaning this right here. So I would ask you, sometimes we're like, why should I keep on reading? I've already read that passage before. Why do I want to do the one-year Bible again? Why do I want to do this Bible shred again? Because Jesus said himself, you're clean by the logos. Okay, so that's the first one. We've got logos and rhema. But he says, this right here, why is it? I've already read John chapter 3. Read it again. Why? Because you are clean by this right here every day. So it's a matter of every day I'm getting cleansed again. I'm getting cleansed again. And you may say, well, I already came to the altar. I already gave my life to Jesus. But did you talk back? Did you have an attitude? Were you rude to someone? Were you a little snippy? Did you have an outburst of anger? Did you have a wrong thought? Did you mistreat your child? Did you say something snarly about your coworker when they went out of the room? Did you X, Y, Z? Okay? Those are things that dirty us. And he says, you're clean by the logos. And so even when you're going, I'm bored with this. I don't want to read this again. I don't want to do my Bible reading this morning. Jesus said, you are clean by the logos. You are clean by the word which I have spoken. In John chapter 1, verse 1, Jesus said this, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. Excuse me, and the word was God. Interesting here. The word there is the word logos. So in the beginning was the logos, and the logos was with God, and the logos was God. Meaning Jesus is logos. Logos is Jesus. Now that sounds weird, but it's just a Greek word that means Jesus is eternal and Jesus is the word. So when we're reading this, we're reading Jesus. This is Jesus. And so one thing that may help us to stay engaged in our logos, in our reading, even if we're not getting these great revelations, is to remember we're reading our best friend. We're reading our spouse. We're reading our husband. Your maker is your husband, the book of Isaiah says. And we should never lose interest in him. Because this is him. Whether you're in Genesis or you're in Revelation, we are reading him. And we should always indulge in the fact that we're getting to read the lover of our soul. So whenever you start to get bored, just remember a couple of the benefits. Number one, I am reading the love of my life. I'm getting to know him. I want you to just think back, those of you that are married or soon to be married, when you were first getting to know that significant other, you wanted to know everything about them, even if it was the teensiest thing. I remember when Spencer and I were doing disaster relief on Mount Pisgah, and we didn't really even know each other that well. And all of a sudden, he's just asking me the craziest questions. And, you know, I'm piling my sticks, and he's cutting that down there, and we're moving the wood over here. And he's like, so who's your favorite author? I'm like, John Bevere. So how many children you want to have one day? Wow, okay then. I don't know. What's your favorite color? Who's your favorite gospel group? Where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to school? What's your favorite anything? But because you're so interested that it's all exciting and I want to know everything there is to know about you. Hold nothing back. When'd you get that cavity filled? I'm just kidding. Oh, because for both of us, that was a lot of cavities. I'm not going to lie. A lot of sugar. But that's how we should be with Jesus. And a lot of times, the reason we lose, the excitement is because we're losing the interest. If we're interested in him, this right here, this written word is constantly opening our eyes to more and more of who he is. Thank you very much. So how does he prune me? Let's look at that. 15:3. You are already clean because of the word which you have spoken. The word, it prunes us. It cleanses us. Abide in me and I in you, he says in verse 4. What does that mean? And we were talking about that a little bit in between the in worship. Abide means to live. It means to stay. It means remain. What is that saying? Live in me. Live in me. Like where you set up camp, let it be in me. Not at church. No, remain in me. Live in me. Abide, stay. That's another definition. Stay in me and I in you. I don't know about you, but I want to be everywhere Spencer is. There's never a time where I want to be away from him. You are like, man, she's needy. Maybe. But so, if I feel that way about him, shouldn't it be that much more about him? Let's not have falsehood. If we're not really like that, we should every day, Lord, I want to be that way. I want to want you more. I want to know you more. I want to desire you more. No matter how many years it's been, there's a song that says, I may be getting older, but don't let this heart grow colder. And it's true. I may be getting older. I may be 18, 19 years into this intimate walk with Jesus, but don't you dare let me get colder. Don't you dare let my fire of intimacy go out for you, because then I'm just religious obligations, just performing a mandate. And the last thing I want is for the lover of my soul to look down at me and not see a heart that is yearning, not see a heart that is desiring, that is pursuing, because he is the all in all. And I encourage you, I implore you, live in him. Stay in him, because it's not wasted. It's never wasted spending time with him. It's never wasted getting in the word. You will not waste your time getting in the word. And sometimes it may feel that way. It may feel like I'm wasting my time. What is this even doing? But it says right here, this word, the written word, it cleanses you. It never stops doing that, no matter how much you memorize or how many times you read it. It cleanses you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. Unless you abide, remain, live, stay in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who lives or stays remains in me, and I in him bears much fruit. Here's the thing. We can put on a good front, but he said the people that are living in me, that are staying in me, that are remaining in me, you'll know because they're going to have a lot of fruit. Not at church, everywhere. They're going to be so fruitful, it won't be, are they living in Jesus? You know, I already have to tell my children, they claim to be a Christian. Why? Am I judgmental? No. Jesus said, you'll know a tree by the fruit it bears. So I don't judge their motive. That's only God's place. You don't judge motive, you judge fruit. There's a difference. I can't judge someone's intentions, but I can look at their tree and judge. And he says, if people are living and abiding in me, you'll know it because they'll have fruit. And they'll have a lot of fruit. And so we may can pretend to other people, and I told you to this yesterday at home, you can act how you want to and be nice and have this reputation at church and in sports that you're this way, but who you are at home is who you are. If you're not loving at home, you are not loving. And what is scary about that is this is who you really are. We can pretend all we want, but the people in our house and the people closest to us, they know how much fruit we have. And what's even greater than that is Jesus Christ, who is the judge, will sit and he knows exactly where we are and if we are actually living in him and if we are actually bearing fruit or not. Gone are the days of pretending and putting on a false face. Jesus knows. He says this, he'll bear much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. And it's prideful to think otherwise. Not anything of kingdom value. We can do a lot. But kingdom value comes from abiding in Christ. And you know the beautiful thing about that is it takes off a lot of stress. For us, because if you're a doer, that may stress you out at first. Like, I know for me, I'm a doer. I'm a like, you know. I just had a baby or had a surgery and I'm like up and it's like, now I'm reversing. Got to go back to resting. But he says, you can't do anything apart from him. And so instead of stressing or being prideful about it, we should go, thank God, because I can anyway. I don't know about you. Have you realized yet you can't do it? Okay, see, when I was first saved, you know, 17, I'm like, oh yeah, I know everything. I can do it all. And then I'm like, oh, I didn't know anything, and I couldn't do anything. The older I get, the more and more I realize how dependent I am upon him. I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. It's not worth it to be fruitless. And the beautiful thing about the fruit of the Spirit is it, guess who does that? The Holy Spirit. So again, he made it so simple for us. He said, here's my command. Oh, wait, here's somebody to help you do it. He said, the Holy Spirit, he's the helper. He'll lead and guide you into all truth, and he'll remind you of everything that I have spoken. And so when he says, abide in me, stay in me, then he sends the helper, and he says, okay, they need fruit. And then he says, okay, the Holy Spirit, he'll bear fruit. Our job is to yield. We just yield. The Holy Spirit bears the fruit. We don't own the fruit. We don't produce the fruit. He does, as we yield to him. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, and I want to stop. I want to kind of hang out here for just a minute. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. If my words abide in you. One important detail is in order for something to abide, we have to know it. The word can't abide in us if we don't know it, if we're not in it, if we don't have it. I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed this Bible shred that we've been doing because it's just like ingesting the word. And I'm seeing things that I haven't seen before. And that's the beautiful thing about the word of God, because it is alive. And so as we're ingesting these great portions, we're like, wow, or at least I am. I'm like, I didn't see that there. I didn't realize that that was there. But in verse 7, where I want to land is, he says, if my words, this word right here is not the word logos, it's the word rhema. And rhema means this, an utterance, a matter, or topic. If you stay in me and my rhema, which is an utterance, a matter, or topic, if it remains and stays in you, then you can ask whatever you will and it will be done. Okay. So we've got logos, which is word, my word, or doctrine. And then we have the Greek word rhema. Oh, wow, there's my things. Okay, we're on rhema now. thank you. An utterance, a matter, a topic. And it appears about 70 times in the New Testament. But Jesus said, if my rhema stays in you, you can ask whatever you will and it will be done. The difference is the logos is this word. Rhema is an utterance. That means when he speaks. So pretty much he's saying, if my voice stays in you on every matter and on every topic, you can ask whatever you will and it will be done. And that is so individual. Because whatever your, what's the matter? I don't know what your matter is. I don't know what your topic is right now. But he has the utterance. And he's saying, if my voice will remain in you, if my utterance will stay in you. See, a lot of times we're not getting what we're asking because we're only staying in logos. We're only staying in the written word. We're not sitting at his feet and listening to his voice, because you have to know his voice, church. That is not an option, because his voice is his rhema. Now, here's an important thing to take note of. Logos will always confirm rhema. If God speaks to you a rhema, which is an utterance on a matter or topic, if he speaks, it has to be confirmed by logos, not the other way around, because that's how you get a wildfire. He doesn't change this right here. This does not change. He said this is going to abide forever. Even when the world's on fire, this abides. This will never contradict. If God speaks to you a rhema, it will be confirmed through this. Not, oh, God spoke something new to me. Well, it may be new to you, but there should be some form of confirmation through a logos word. But he said, if my rhema, meaning my voice, stays in you, whatever you're going through, whatever your circumstance, whatever your situation, whatever you're praying about, if it lives in you, then you can ask whatever you will and it will be done. Now, let's put it in, well, I want to read it as it is. If you abide in me and my rhema abides in you, you will ask what you will desire and it will be done. Who doesn't want that? But the problem is, a lot of times we want to just read this and look over him speaking to us. And I don't know why people have such a hard time with that. God still speaks. It's like when he was arguing with the Pharisees and they were like, well, this man's wife died and seven brothers, they married this woman and who's going to have her in eternity? And Jesus said, all right, how are you without understanding? And then he says, whenever God spoke to Moses in the bush, he said what? I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Jacob. What was he saying? He still speaks. He's still alive. He's still speaking. So if you're a person that's battling with, I don't know the voice of God, or I don't believe God still speaks, let me encourage you today that he still speaks. And it's important that you know his voice, because you may be asking for something and you're not getting it because you don't have his voice. And everyone in this room, God wants to speak to individually. And all it takes is time. You know, I can be in a crowded room, but if Spencer speaks my name, I know his voice. It doesn't matter how many different voices are going. Or if one of my children cry, I know their cry. Why? Because I know them intimately. I know their voice. I know their cry. I know their footsteps, right? It's like Adam was in the garden in the cool of the day, and he heard the footsteps of the Lord walking. And that's how he wants us to be with his voice. Why? Because we are his children. Do you not think that the Father wants his children to know his voice intimately? Ask what you will and it will be done. His sheep know his voice, it says in the book of John, which also implies that if we don't know his voice, we are not his sheep. And you may say, well, I want to know his voice. Then take time. That's all you got to do. Be like Mary and sit at his feet and wait. And trust me on this. He will speak. You pray and then you wait. Waiting is a crucial part of prayer that we cannot neglect. We can't just pray, and then get up and go about our day and expect to hear something. We need to pray and we need to wait because he wants to speak to every single person in this room. And you know what? He already is. To every person in this room, he's already speaking. You may not be hearing it. It's like Job said one time, he passes by me in the night and I don't see him. I don't hear him. But he's speaking because he loves you. He didn't create you to leave you on an island. He loves you, and when you love someone, you speak to them, you listen to them, you spend time with them. So I want you this week, maybe this isn't part of your normal routine, take time and listen. It's like that old song says, I come to the garden alone where the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on my ear. Don't make me cry. The Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And we all need that, no matter who you are, no matter how great you are, no matter how ungreat you feel. He is the one that fills us, that redeems us. He does all those great things, but then he wants us to. Isn't that amazing? It's like he doesn't just give us this the greatest gift ever. Then he's like, now I want to walk with you and watch you enjoy it. You know, there's nothing that I love better on Christmas morning than watching my children enjoy themselves. Spencer have gotten to the point, you know, after 5 children and 13 years of marriage, that we'll still get our, you know, each other something. But our greatest joy is watching our children. And I love this. This is one of my mothering scriptures. I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in the truth. And to walk in the truth is to walk in him. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. His sheep know his voice. And maybe that seems strange to you, but in the book of Psalms, it says, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. In Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. And lots of other good things, like setting a table before you in the presence of your enemy. I mean, that's just like, come on, Jesus. I've seen him do that a few times. Where someone is just your enemy, and I mean, it may be Satan himself, or it may be in the form of a person, and they just, you know, do whatever they do to you, and Jesus is like, here's a table. I want you to come eat. They meant this for your harm, but I'm going to turn this for your good. All right, John 15, let's go back there for a second. The word of God is the true vine. I'm going to begin to close. We are branches on the true vine as long as we bear fruit. Another way to look at this is if you stay in the written word and his voice, you can ask whatever you will and it will be done. If you stay in both. Some people, they're either way over here and it's only his voice. And then some people are over here and it's only reading. It's never that way. It's always the middle. It's like the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. And we have to remain in him so that we are bearing Galatians 5:22. Love, joy, peace, all those things. Let's talk about love. 1 Corinthians 13. Everywhere it says God is love, we should be able to put us. Madison is love. Why? Because we're to be like God. He wants us to be like him. Madison is patient. Madison is kind. Madison isn't rude. I don't boast in iniquity. I rejoice in the truth. All of those things, we should be able to put us there. That should be us. I want to be, and I want this church to be the place of love. And that may sound so cheesy to some people, and it's ridiculous that love has become cheesy because God is love, and that's probably the enemy's intention, because then it makes you not want to be it or do it. But I want this to be the heartbeat of God. Because perfect love casts out all fear, what Pastor Jeff was singing about this morning. And I want people to come in here, and there's so much of the love of God that they're just getting set free. They're walking in, and because God's here, and because we're here, and we're dwelling in that love, it's just casting out fear out of them, and they go out, and they're going, how'd I get free? And we're not getting any glory, because it wasn't about us. It's about him. And I was thinking about this morning during worship about every time Jesus marveled. I could be wrong, but in my thoughts, I didn't have time to look it up. All the people that he marveled at, they were nameless. They didn't have a name. It never named them. And they usually weren't Israelites. They were usually the Syrophoenician woman, you know, the centurion, a Roman. But it says that Jesus marveled at their faith. And I don't know about you, but I want that to be me, and I want that to be this house, that he is marveling. Why do you want Jesus to marvel? Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. And I want us and this house to be a place of his pleasure. And if that's what he says pleases him, then make us that. If that means no one remembers they got set free here, no one remembers what happened or when it took place or who did it or who prayed it or whatever, so be it, because I want him to be pleased with everything we say, everything we do, everything we are. That is my prayer for this house, and that's my prayer for your life. Oh, Jesus, that we would please you, and it comes with abiding. Because we can't do it apart from him. But he said that if we will remain in his rhema and in his logos, he'd give us everything that we were asking for. And then he says this beautiful thing. In this, my Father is glorified. Abiding in his logos, which is this written word. That's all it is. Abiding in this and having his voice will cause you to bear much fruit. And fruit is proof. You ever been like, prove it? Christians need to have that mentality. Prove it. You are? Okay, prove it. Just watch. They'll prove it. Just listen. They'll prove it. And I want to be abiding in him, in his utterance, not just so he'll give me what I want. That's great too. Right? It's great when you pray about something and he grants it. But it's the Father being glorified. That is the all in all. He says, let all that you do be done. He that glories, let him glory in the Lord. May that be our lives, that we would abide in his written word, we would hear his voice and know his voice, and then we'll have everything we ask for. You know why? Because if you're doing all that, you're not going to ask to consume it on your flesh. Because the book of James tells us that's why you're not getting it. You're asking, but you're asking amiss so that you can consume it on your flesh. But he says, ask in faith, nothing wavering. Don't be double-minded. Don't be over here and then over there. And the Bible also says, if we will delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our heart. If we will stay pliable in him, he'll give us what we desire. How great is God? I'm still, this morning I told some of the pastors and deacons and everyone that was in the office when we prayed. On the way to church, I was listening to this song. And it said, I got food on my table. God is able. And I just started crying that God provides every single thing. He doesn't stop. You can, people say it all the time, you can't outgive God. And it is so true. Whatever you do, you turn around and then there's abundance more. And you're like, God, I can't give you enough. And it's true. Because he is just generous and he just giving is who he is. God so loved the world that he gave. He loves, so he gives. There's no greater joy than that. If you would stand to your feet. I just want to pray over us this morning. I hope that I did justice to breaking that down. I know I was a little, a few different places. But I just wanted to share my heart. And I believe that God is doing something so great and so sweet. And I'm about to cry again. God is just so good. And I love everyone in this room. We have felt so loved being, some of you don't know, but we've been sick. And I've just had the most loving text sent to me. And I'm just grateful. God is so good. And I want to pray this morning that wherever you're at in your reading journey, in your hearing journey, maybe you're right now trying to hear from God. I want that to become open in your life because he will, the book of Isaiah says, you'll hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And he'll lead you in the simplest of things. Things that are like, why would you even care? Why would you even tell me about that little thing? Because he's into it. He's into the matters, which is what Rhema means. He's into the details. He's into the topics. He's into your topics. He's into your matters. He's into your details. And so I just want to pray this morning, if you would bow your heads. Father, we come again. Thank you that we get to come again. We get to come before your throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Thank you that we get to have your written word. Thank you that we get to abide in you. And I pray this morning over every heart, every person, wherever they are at in this journey, whether they're being pruned right now, whether they're in a perfect season and nothing is moving and they're just grooving along, Lord, wherever they're at in the process, I pray your grace over them. God, I pray that our reading times would explode. God, I pray that they would become greater. I pray that there would be a greater hunger and thirst for your word like we've never had in our life. Everyone's hunger is at a different place and has been at different places. But God, may we not grow colder. May we grow more fervent in spirit. God, I pray for anyone that's become sluggish anyone that has become unmotivated, that this morning would be something that causes them to catch the wind, to catch the fire, to see the importance, to see the greatness, to see what your word will do in their life. God, I pray that we would go from glory to glory and grace to grace. May we not get stuck. May we not quit. May we not cast off restraint. But God, I pray a deeper love over every person in this room, that we would love your word with greater fervency. God, I pray for those who are desiring to hear your voice for the first time, that you would open their ears, circumcise their heart, make it more plain, make it more clear. God, in whatever way is needed to get their attention, God, I pray if there's unforgiveness, may there be forgiveness. If there's anything, any sin that is blocking, that they know what it is, that they would repent of it. God, I pray that there would not be any holding back from your presence, but I pray a greater pursuit to hear your voice, to hear your word. Lord, speak, for your servants are listening. You are the God who speaks. You said it yourself, behold, it is I. Remove any blockade. And I pray for answers to those who are seeking them this morning. You said you would answer quickly. And I pray that you would do so. Let the answer just drop in the spirit. If you need an answer from the Lord, I encourage you to just surrender. Raise your hands maybe. Do something that is an act showing over here, Lord. I pray that you would drop the answer that is needed into the heart. And the Lord dropped this song in my heart this morning. And it says, I'm just going to read you the verse. You can keep your eyes closed. But it's in Luke 4:4. Luke 5:5. But Simon, Jesus said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, which is rhema, I will let down the net. There's a song that says, you prayed all night. You held on with all of your might. Child, your cry has awoken the master. And that speaks to the story of Jesus and his disciples in the boat, and the storm was raging, and Jesus went down and he took a nap, and they came and they woke him up, and he went out and he spoke to the storm and he said, peace, be still. There's someone in this room. You've been crying all night. You've been holding on with all of your might. It may have been just last night. It may have been a season that's lasted 18 months. It may be years, but Jesus wants me to let you know this morning that he has heard your cry. And to whoever you are, it's time for the storm to end. You've been holding on, and he's letting you know you got his attention. And so now to that storm, I say, peace, be still in the name of Jesus. Peace, be still. I thank you that you are the master of all winds and waves. There is no storm in this room that you don't know about and that you can't command to stop. And you have times and seasons for everything in everyone's life. And so I pray right now that the storm that has been raging would be brought to a halt. And someone, you know exactly what I'm talking about, and you yourself have been fighting the storm. But Jesus says, let it go. Lay it down. You're fighting in the wrong way. Rest in him. Rest in him. Rest in him. You're still fighting. Just rest in him. The master will take care of the storm. Rest in the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Be patient for him. He will answer and he will do it. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he will strengthen your heart. I pray for hearts to be strengthened in this room and the oppression to lift in the name of Jesus. So, Father, I pray over your people this morning. For those who are in storms, I pray refreshment. May their souls be refreshed and restored, because that's what the shepherd does, is he restores the soul. So I pray that you would restore every mind, every heart, every spirit, every soul, and every body. What the enemy meant for harm, pray that you would make it for their good. I bless your people this morning in Jesus' name. You can go ahead and raise your hands to receive the blessing if you would like. And if you would like prayer this morning for anything, I'm going to ask the pastors and the altar team to come up and just be available. We are here to pray for you for anything, but I'm going to release everyone else. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. May he write his name all over you and smile over you. And may you know his voice better than you've ever known it or find it for the first time. And may it and you remain in him, in his written word and in his spoken word. God, I pray beauty this week, beautiful words this week, beautiful movement, beautiful opportunities, divine encounters, fresh provision, fresh encounters with you, open doors. I just pray, bless it, benefit after benefit after benefit after benefit over every person in this room this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.